This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Republican presidential contender Donald Trump selects Indiana Governor Mike Pence as his running mate. Trump announced his pick on Twitter this morning after delaying his choice last night, citing the attack in Nice, France that killed more than 80 people. Meanwhile, delegates to the GOP convention head to Cleveland, but many of the party's prominent members will not attend. And a rules maneuver to stop Trump's nomination failed late last night. On the Democratic side of the ticket, Bernie Sanders endorses Hillary Clinton's bid for the White House, but will Sanders supporters follow his lead? Political junkie Ken Rudin joins me now. Ken, welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Do we have 2 hours to talk about all this?
Donald Trump has ended the suspense.
That's right. It's kind of sad. You think of all the times that Chris Christie went out and got Trump McDonald's for dinner, and all that was for nothing.
He picks
Mike Pence. It was the right. I think it was the right call. If the alternative was Gingrich or Christie, that may have been taking away a lot of the attention from Trump. And we know that's not allowed or preferred by Donald Trump. But I think Pence is perfect for him because he is really a very, very, very conservative Republican, both in Congress and now as governor of Indiana. And a lot of the issues that he's very strong on, abortion, family, things like that, Donald Trump is noticeably weak on with evangelical voters. And I think it helps him with that.
And did the suspense, is a joke, Pence? No, I sent it Federal Express. You get it tomorrow. So what about this, though? I mean, Pence, I mean, I get that, you know, sort of if you're looking to shore up those areas where you're weak, this might help, you know, but he also supported Ted Cruz earlier. I mean, does that matter?
Well, he did, but if you remember when he endorsed him, he did endorse Ted Cruz, but he actually had a lot of nice things to say about Donald Trump. So it wasn't negative, and actually, I mean, whatever you think about Pence's politics and his ideology and, of course, his stewardship of that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which really backfired him in 2015, he's not an attack dog. He's kind of a soft-spoken, nice guy. And so he actually said some nice things about Trump during that endorsement of Cruz. And I think the fact that he endorsed Cruz may help some Cruz supporters warm up to Trump as well. Although ultimately, look, we know that we'll vote for the presidential guy or woman. We don't really care about the bottom of the ticket.
As history has
shown.
It has rarely mattered, and in this case, I would think in this election, it's going to matter even less, right?
I mean, I agree. Everything is it's all about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I agree.
There was an effort to stop Trump's nomination before it gets to or at the convention in Cleveland. That effort failed last night. Tell us what happened and how it failed.
Well, it's not over yet, but what happened was there was an effort to try to free the delegates' conscience. In other words, all these delegates, these Republican delegates, most of them are bound by what happened in the primaries and caucuses. There was an effort in the Rules Committee, the Republican Convention Rules Committee, to unbind them, to free them, free their conscience, but that failed miserably. It was a 77-21 vote, which was not a surprise, because most of the members of the Rules Committee are either members of the RNC, which wants a united party, or Trump supporters, which obviously wants a Trump nomination. But actually, these people, all they need, if they can get signatures from 28 members of this rules panel, they could bring that argument to the full convention floor next week in Cleveland. And so, of course, either way, it's going to be, you know, look, I can't see how Donald Trump has denied the nomination. But the last thing the Republicans want, especially the ones who want to be united against Hillary Clinton, is divisiveness, and you'll see it if this does reach the floor.
Well, it's not even a question of being united, whatever that means. At this point, he's just pulled even with Hillary in the polls. This after the email report is released, and so why would you want to dump him?
Well, because I mean, there are some polls. Of course, we could talk about polls. There's a CBS New York Times poll that has it tied. That's true. But there's also an NBC Wall Street Journal poll that came out this morning that if you look at these key states, including North Carolina, Hillary Clinton has a lead anywhere between 6 and 10 points in some battleground states. So, and the fact is, a lot of Republicans down ballot are nervous about him. The John McCains who have to worry about the Latino vote in Arizona, the Mark Kirks who have to worry about the independents in Illinois, and Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire. There are a lot of Republicans who are not even showing up at the convention because they say that he's just too divisive and too controversial to rally behind, and you're just nervous about implosion. But you're absolutely right. The polls do show it very close, and Democrats are nervous.
Very quickly, what about this convention? Because this is usually the springboard for the candidate. This is their big launch. The Republicans, as you say, a lot of the headliners in the Republican Party aren't even going to be there. How does he come out of this convention, given what we can expect going into it?
I don't know. I mean, it reminds me almost of Goldwater and the fact that there was a United, the Goldwater delegates loved him in 64, but a lot of the moderates and the people who ran the party did not, and they came out kind of like, you know, divided. And I think that the Republicans, even with perhaps a unifying vice presidential running mate, I think there's going to be a lot of dissension on the floor. You're going to see it visibly on the floor. There may be violence outside from both Republicans and anti-Trump protesters. It is not expected to be the kind of convention, not on a plane of Chicago 68, but something that the Republicans do not want to see happening this year.
Well, we have a two-divided party system in this country, and the Democrats sort of came together when Bernie Sanders sort of endorsed Hillary Clinton, but also, you know, made an appeal to his followers that, you know, we had a very good campaign, and it was hard to know whether he was supporting Hillary or encouraging his faithful to go on. Let's listen to what he had to say in support of Hillary Clinton.
Our campaign won the primaries and caucuses in 22 states. And when the roll call at the Democratic National Convention is announced, it will show that we won almost 1,900 delegates. Far more than almost anyone thought we could win. But it is not enough to win the nomination. Secretary Clinton goes into the convention with 389 more pledged delegates than we have, and a lot more superdelegates.
So there you go. Bernie Sanders endorsing his former opponent, Democratic presidential nomination, Hillary Clinton. What does that mean to those supporters who were so loyal to Bernie Sanders?
You know something? I was smiling listening to that tape because really it was more about Bernie Sanders and everything he accomplished and less about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. There's a new NBC poll that shows that 22% of Bernie Sanders supporters are looking at either Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, or Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. And so, look, I mean, the Democrats are far more united than the Republicans are. It'll be a far more unified convention, certainly, in Philadelphia in 2 weeks. But right now, there are still some diehard Bernie Sanders supporters who will continue to say, never Hillary. Now, there are others who say, we've got to defeat Donald Trump at all costs. But right now, there's still a large percentage or a sizable percentage that still need to be won over.
And North Carolina is a battleground state, and the battle continues here over voter identification. It's a battle that continues in the courts. What's the latest, Ken?
Well, there's a judge, a North Carolina judge that says he will bring it to trial, will listen to it on September 26th. And they'll allow, you know, the argument whether to show photo ID violates the state constitution, and that's interesting because the state judge who's doing this, a guy named, I think, Michael Morgan, I think is his name, mm-hmm. is a Democrat, backed by Democrats. He's running for a Supreme Court judgeship this year. And if he's the guy who's going to be responsible for hearing what happens to the voter ID law, a lot of Republicans are nervous because Morgan and the Democrats, or at least the Democratic Party, says this voter ID is an infringement of rights, of voting rights, and Morgan may just decide to throw it out. This is, again, just less than 2 months before the election.
Right. And so big questions about that. And, of course, that's at the state level. It would move on. But the election is in November, and it's unlikely to get much higher or beyond that, you would think, before Election Day. So all of that's in the works. And then, of course, HB2 is still in the headlines. An appeal to Justice Roberts on the U.S. Supreme Court from a Virginia school district could affect transgender students. This is a Virginia case, but I wonder if it's heard, if it'll have an impact here in North Carolina.
Well, I mean, of course, yes, you're absolutely right. The Virginia appeal is going to the Supreme Court. Justice Roberts is expected to hear it. But there's also, you know, there's also a district judge, a court in North Carolina that's going to hear an appeal from the ACLU regarding the HB2. So whatever it is, it's certainly not going to change the outcome, or at least it's not going to change the contentiousness in the race for governor between Cooper and McCrory. And we were talking about polls before. The latest NBC poll that came out this morning has Cooper up over Governor McCrory, 49 to 45, and a lot of that is based on HB2 controversy.
All right, political junkie Ken Rudin, we don't have 2 hours, but we'll have you back. And then we can talk more about this.
Thanks so much, Frank.
Good to have you on the program, Ken Rudin. Just ahead, we're going to take a look at an exhibit that explores the life and legacy of a Raleigh dressmaker, Willie Ote Kay. You'll hear about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I invite you to please stay tuned.